Welcome to Carce and the Kid. With your hosts, Steve Carce and Alexander Danilov.
Good evening, all. Welcome to the Carce and the Kid show. He is Steve Carce. I am the Kid. Steve, I know you're exhausted. We appreciate you, me especially. Appreciate you toughing it out. This is pretty much what the next, 6 to 8 months is going to be like for you, traveling and everything. But it's all worth it. But you know what? Sometimes you miss that sleep and that rest.
Oh, absolutely. It's, it just happens to be one of those days. It's, in the early going of spring training, games have started. And, there's just a lot of work to be done. So, even though it's long days, it's very enjoyable. And I just look forward to, closing out, the day with a great show.
Yeah, absolutely. And a great show is what we're going to have tonight for sure. Not just saying that because it is what we always do, but because we have a very special guest coming up tonight. There's going to be a lot of off-topic, off-baseball stuff discussed tonight. You'll see it. I'm going to throw a lot of people for a loop tonight with – I'm going to take two last licks. One is more an emotional one. The other one is sports-related, but it's a sport we've – I don't think we've ever talked about, Steve, but that's my teaser. There will be two last licks for me tonight. But our guest tonight is Joe DeSena. He is the founder and CEO of Spartan Race. We're very excited to have him on. I know we don't really talk about this this particular way of physical activity, endurance, and things like that, but this is something that we felt that we really need to speak about because it speaks to a lot of what we've talked to our guests about in terms of mental performance and physical endurance ability and things like that. There's a lot more to it than just going out there and performing. And the people that come to Spartan Races are not generally professional athletes or things of that nature. So we'll be spotlighting that tonight. But before that, there's some news. Let's start with some football news, Steve, my man crush. I'm sure you're expecting me to start off with this one. But Peyton Manning expected to officially announce his retirement. It's a little more than expected at this point. 18 years in the NFL. Is going to go down to one of the top two quarterbacks, if not the best quarterbacks of all time. Certainly the stats say that. The five MVPs say that. The two Super Bowl rings say that in four appearances. But going off on the high note, classy guy, despite all the allegations and all the other stuff that's swirling now since the Super Bowl, all the stuff that happened, allegedly happened during his college days, resurfacing again. But regardless, we salute Peyton Manning on an absolutely phenomenal career. Instant Hall of Famer, should be there this very second. But Steve, just kind of a big loss for the NFL if you think about it. Whether he's playing up to par or not, that guy sells tickets and the merchandise.
There's no question about it. One of the greats that of our generation that we've had an opportunity to watch and see him over the duration of his career. Obviously starting out coming out of Tennessee with the Indianapolis Colts and then moving on to the Denver Broncos and obviously finishing his career on top with a Super Bowl. And there could be no better way to go out than that. Not very many people have done it that way. He's one of the fortunate ones and has just been a mainstay in football throughout his career.
Absolutely. Just, again, one of the greatest of all time, maybe the greatest of all time, depending on who you ask. It's not really the best conversation to have because everyone values different things. And with data integrated now into the game, there's so many different ways to look at who's the best and who's not. But regardless, he's one of the best of all time. We could all settle on that. Peyton Manning expected to officially announce his retirement from the game of football tomorrow after winning the Super Bowl with the Denver Broncos this year. We got some baseball news as well. We have Yairo Diaz suffering an injury. Steve, you can pronounce it a lot better than I can, but ultimately it resulted in him having to go through Tommy John surgery.
Yeah, that's right. Bad news today for the Colorado Rockies. Somebody who's competing for their closed job, tore his UCL, which is the ulnar collateral ligament, which will end up with Tommy John surgery. He will have to go through the yearly rehab process and be able to come back next year and vie for a job in that Rockies bullpen.
And that makes that trade that they made so much bigger by getting Jake McGee. Jake McGee is certainly a flamethrower. Has had injuries of his own, but he's I guess he's going to slide into that role. But manager Walt Weiss saying the last hitter especially, he didn't look right. Saying about his the guy who's slated to be his closer, certainly one of the most promising young relievers that they have on that squad. You know, it's obviously a big loss for the squad, for the Colorado Rockies, who, even though they're not expected to do much, you never want to see anybody go down with injury, especially one that's yet to show himself and yet to show what he's capable of doing. But you know, that is the way the cookie crumbles, so to speak. And injuries and Tommy John surgery, especially for pitchers, young guys, is all too common now. Again, unfortunately. So now we have Austin Jackson signing a one-year deal with the Chicago White Sox. It's a one-year, $5 million deal. I like this deal, Steve. It gives him a lot of flexibility, a lot of depth, gives him a guy with speed. He can do a bunch of things with his bat, with his legs. He's always had issues striking out, but does have a little bit of pop in there as well. So I like the signing for White Sox.
Yeah, it was just a matter of time before he signed, and I think teams were waiting for his price tag to drop, and it ultimately did. You know, he was already, you know, sitting out spring training early on, and, you know, $5 million was a good price for the White Sox to pay. I know they've been negotiating for a few weeks with his agent, and, you know, ultimately that's where he chose to go on a one-year $5 million deal. And you know, he's a versatile guy. He'll be able to help them out a little bit, and we'll kind of see how he transpires into playing all three different outfield positions for the White Sox.
Mm-hmm. And certainly a guy who's journeyed around a bunch of places now. Originally was with the Yankees. They traded him out in a bigger trade many moons ago, but he's now 29. He's going to be entering his age 29 year. He ended last year with the Chicago Cubs, who ended up re-signing Dexter Fowler. So now you have a guy who, very similar to Fowler in many different ways. Of course, Fowler's a lot more advanced in his abilities and what he's able to do on the field. He's shown it for a longer period of time. But again, I do like the signing for the Chicago White Sox. Definitely low risk, one-year, $5 million deal is good. And then you have Jimmy Rollins, who also trying to get in there with the Chicago White Sox, and obviously the twilight days of his career have not been too friendly to him, but he's still trying to get out there, still trying to do what he can do. He's 37 right now, but he started breaking down a long time, I guess a few years ago, it'd be a long time ago. So we hope Jimmy Rollins makes a team. I mean, his brand of leadership is something that any team could really benefit from, even if he doesn't perform well on the field, Steve.
Yeah, he's a veteran guy who brings leadership to the clubhouse. He's a guy who obviously knows how to win, has won with the Philadelphia Phillies, you know, went over to the Dodgers and played a little bit, probably, you know, protege Seager a little bit and helped him out learning the game at that level and how fast it is. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how Jimmy Rollins bounces back and, you know, if he's able to, you know, make that team and be their starting shortstop or just be a platoon player who's, you know, somebody who can just have some leadership and guide that club in some direction.
Mm-hmm. And still some speed in those legs as well. 2014, his last year with the Philadelphia Phillies, was a lifetime Philly up until last year when he got traded over to the Dodgers. Did have 28 stolen bases that year, but his batting average has been just dropping precipitously every single year. Last time he hit over 270 was back in 2008, back in with the Phillies. He only played 137 games that year, but did have a pretty solid year. The year before was his best ever, 20 homers, 94 RBIs. He's on the cusp of reaching different things. He actually reached his 500th double last year. He's now at 503, so that's an amazing feat there. He's 35 stolen bases away from 500. I don't know if he's chasing that or not. We don't know. But again, just he's had a very solid career through and through. He's at 2,400 career hits. A lot of people don't really look at him that way, but this guy is, if not for the slowdown in the last few years, this is a guy who would be knocking on 3,000 career hits. But 2,400 hits certainly is not shabby. He's been averaging, according to Baseball Reference, over 162 game season. He's averaging 176 hits, 101 runs, 36 doubles over the course of his career. So looking backwards, this is one of the best of the era.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he's been a very consistent player over his career. you know, the speed has not really, you know, gone away. He's able to keep adequate speed and, you know, help teams score runs, you know, obviously with the hits and his on-base percentage and then, you know, stolen base here or there. He's a guy who's shown very much great consistency over his career and has had a, you know, very good or, you know, even above average major league career for the length of time he has spent in the big leagues, which is a very long time, and not many people get to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's been on top. He's been at the peak and been through all-star games and things like that. So certainly a great career. And obviously we hope that he makes the team. So now we also have Jared Parker, who's looking to bounce back from that from blowing out his elbow last year. Steve, what do you think about the recovery time and the ability to do what he needs to do?
You know, it just takes time. Everybody's a little bit different when it comes to Tommy John surgery and getting their elbow reconstructed. You know, they have a pretty good protocol for rehabilitation. Each team uses the doctor's protocol and has different ways of rehabbing guys. It usually takes 9 to 15 months or so to start feeling, you know, about where you need to come back, location and command is always the last thing to come back. So as long as he's progressing and rebounding and recovering well, you know, it just takes time to kind of get settled in and start being able to compete at the big league level again. He'll have to go through the rehab process and probably make some, you know, minor league starts and get his feet back underneath him. And then ultimately, as long as he's feeling good, I think he'll be able to help that ball club.
Agreed 100%, and they're looking at him probably in more of a relief role, which is not surprising. Try to inch him back into the game, of course, after blowing out his elbow. But we'll refocus on baseball in a little bit. Right now we have our special guest on the line, Joe DeSena. He is the founder and CEO of the Spartan Race, and I'm very excited to have him on. Joe, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm in Singapore, so the hours were crazy, but happy to be on.
Yeah, we're certainly happy to have you on. And I mentioned before when we were doing a little bit of the intro monologue to the show is that we really don't talk about this brand of endurance and athleticism. And we've had a variety of guests on the show from Diamond Dallas Page, former wrestler, to, of course, professionals and writers and things like that. But this is something that's very different. You've created something, you and your team have created something really huge here, something that's transformational, that goes way beyond just a typical race and the one afternoon type of event. So I'd like for you to take us into the world of the Spartan Race and how you feel about what this has been able to do. Has it become a movement more than anything else?
Yeah, I think you nailed it. It wasn't started to just go out for a fun day jog and do some fitness. It was really started to transform people, change their frame of reference, get people uncomfortable. You know, if you're comfortable and you're getting through your days that way, you're not going to change. You're going to stay status quo. And, you know, things that don't change die. Not to get all philosophical on you, but it's very important that we all get out over our skis and really push limits and try new things and get uncomfortable. Because when you do that, you grow. And I guess we've done, like, indirectly the largest experiment in this area of psychology, right? We got over 1 million people a year participating in Spartan Race, and we're getting hundreds of thousands of emails where people are saying, oh my God, you changed my life. I'm now back with my wife. I'm back with my husband. I lost 300 pounds. I'm no longer smoking. I stopped drinking. And it's a movement, like you said. It's completely transformed our segment of the world.
Yeah, hey, Joe, Steve Carsey here. How you doing? From Singapore.
How you doing?
Huh?
Yeah.
I'm doing well. Listen, I kind of have a twofold question for you here for our listeners. You know, I kind of dug a little bit into what the Spartan Race is, and I didn't know much about it, and maybe some of our listeners don't know as well either. But, you know, how does one train for a Spartan Race and then really after the training part of it, you know, how do they go about finding the different obstacles that you're going to put in these Spartan races for competition and to be able to do it over the long haul? And is there different, I guess I'll make it a three-part question. Is there different lengths to these races that people can compete in?
Yeah. Okay. So starting at the beginning, you can learn everything at Spartan.com. We put races on all over the world. There's three different distances. There's a sprint, which is about 3 miles, let's call it, a super, about 8 miles, and a beast, which is about a half marathon, 13 miles. When you finish all three of those distances, you've earned something we quote the trifecta. And the reason we came up with that is it's hard to transform yourself if you're one and done. If you just do one event and you go back to your old ways, you're not transformed. If you do three events in a year, you're eating healthier, you're finding new friends, you're probably going to bed earlier, you're not having that extra glass of wine, you're waking up earlier. So that's what the trifecta helps you achieve. Now, how do you train for this thing? If you want to just get through a Spartan race, although it looks scary and it, you know, it is daunting and it is going to be a lot of work, if you went out and just walked, you know, 1 mile a day, 7 days, it's literally just walked a mile a day, you did 30 burpees, and you did 30 of the best pull-ups you could. I know a lot of people have to do jump-ups, but 30 burpees, 30 pull-ups, walk a mile a day, that would be enough to get through the sprint. That's not to say it's going to be easy. You're definitely not going to win it with that training regimen, but you'll get through it. Now, if you want to compete and you want to take it to the next level, you got to start running, right? You got to get a couple of miles, 2-3 miles in. I recommend Bikram yoga. Yoga because it's going to help you get flexible. It's going to put you in a very uncomfortable situation in a room that's over 100 degrees Fahrenheit. You're going to probably fix some old injuries, and you're going to be less likely to have future injuries doing Bikram yoga. I know you guys cover traditional sports. If you look at some of the football teams over the last decade that have done well, and even Dan Marino said his career was extended because of Bikram yoga. So highly encourage people to get out and do that. A lot of people do CrossFit. We put out a daily workout routine, so you could look up on Spartan.com. We follow our routine if you've got you're feeling frisky.
And once again, we're speaking with Joe DeSena, the founder and CEO of Spartan Race. What's become an idea, something to change in, you know, local lives and things like that, has become a global movement, spurring many Spartans and things like that. Again, it's a global phenomenon at this point. You're calling us from Singapore, so we greatly appreciate you being able to commit to doing the show. What you just said about yoga is actually very important, because that's a big part of the reason why we had Diamond Dallas Page on the show, and he does DDP yoga, and it's helped so many wrestlers. And a lot of people say, well, it's fake, this and that. Those injuries are real. What people go through and what their bodies go through are real, and bodies can only take so much, whether you're going to the gym, whether you're just running locally, or whether you're just, you know, you're picking up stuff at home and just doing regular routine work, and your body needs to be in the right shape to be able to do that. And it takes certain grit, and it takes certain abilities to do what people do when they join the Spartan. So I want to take a piece out of your book here, Joe, and the book is called Spartan Up. It's almost 2 years since the release, so congratulations on the almost 2 year anniversary there of the release of this book.
I'm
reading up page 60 in this. One of the reasons Spartan races are so transformational is that participating in one takes you through the process of developing grit. It's like grit 101. So let's talk about what the importance of that is, because again, grit is not just when you're doing the Spartan race. It's not just when you're doing that intense workout and things like that. It's life. We need to be gritty to be able to get through life. It's very challenging, very competitive, and it changes every day. And we need to be able to deal with that change, and we need to be gritty to do that. So let's talk about how we incorporate that into our lives.
Yeah, well, you know, grit and resiliency are somewhat synonymous terms. I do a lot of work on both those terms. And resiliency, if you looked it up in the dictionary, it's going to basically say it's the ability to spring back, right? We all are going to have bad moments in our day, bad days in our lives. And we find out somebody has cancer, we get sick ourselves, we get in a car, whatever it is, things go wrong. And when they do, it's our ability to bounce back that really makes a difference on whether or not we're going to be successful in life, or whether we're going to have a happier life or not, or we're just going to go through life miserable. And what Spartan Race does, and the military would do this too, it's not just Spartan Race, right? It's anything that's going to take you out of comfort zone. Go out sailing in bad weather. Go snowshoeing when it's ice cold out. Take a cold shower in the morning. Do 300 burpees. Anything that takes you out of your comfort zone is going to change your frame of reference. What do I mean by that? What I mean is, if you grew up in Disneyland, and then somebody transported you from Disneyland to Afghanistan, you're not going to cope very well. Right. And most of us in the first world, and especially in the U.S., in most of the U.S., most of us have really cushy lives. We grew up in Disneyland. And so we're not fighting for milk. We're not prepared to deal with adversity. And what I'm suggesting is some purposeful suffering. Take yourself mentally to Afghanistan for the day, for the morning, whatever you can. Go through a Spartan race, and you're going to say the next time you've got some bad news, all right, that's bad, but it's not as bad as crawling under barbed wire, or it's not as bad as doing that rope climb. Oh, my God, I was broken at mile 8, right? So you just got to change your frame of reference, and life's going to be easier.
Now, Joe, you lived through this this ethos of the Spartan the Spartan race and the whole idea behind it. It's not just you promote this, you're making money off it, all that kind of stuff. It's you actually live in this, and you actually go through a lot of these Spartan races yourself. And I was listening to an interview you did with I think it was a London broadcast, and you talked about when you had, I think it was in 1 week, you had 4 Spartan races. You didn't realize it. Your wife had told you, hey, do you realize there's 4 pretty almost consecutively here. So there's a lot that you actually participate in yourself. So you see a lot of this and you train for it as well. So you have to be able to be in shape and do this and be able to go through this on a daily basis.
Well, I was lucky. My mother was into yoga and meditation and taking my sister and I to long distance running events back in the 70s, well before this was popular culture. And mm-hmm. She was considered a freak. She was a freak considered by her friends, by me and my sister, by my dad. And so we were fortunate, though, because it became our ethos, right? We train every day. I cannot get through my day unless I do some form of training. This morning I did my cold shower. My kids wake up. I've got 4 children. The oldest is 10 years old. They wake up every morning, 5:45 a.m., and we go through an hour of hell together. We work out together. They've been doing that for 4 years. So it is absolutely part of our lives. We live it, we breathe it, so we're not selling something that we don't partake in. And we know, hey, listen, I'm not bragging here. I'm sure most people listening will say I'm a nutcase if they haven't already, but my oldest son, who was 8, ran the Boston Marathon. His brother at 7 ran the New York Marathon. So
amazing.
Some people, you know, people might want to call social services or whatever, but my point is, kids, women used to have babies at 13 and 14 years old, right? Grandmothers were trekking across the country in horse and wagon when a wheel broke and you got attacked by Indians. So, like, doing some burpees in the morning, taking a cold shower, doing a little workout, we're not really asking for a lot here, and I do it.
No, absolutely, Joe. And again, we do appreciate you calling. We know you're calling from all the way out in Singapore. We appreciate you coming on. We appreciate what you're doing, you and your team at Spartan. Really amazing stuff. People want to check out more. It's Spartan.com. The Twitter handle, also phenomenal. Almost 150,000 followers there is at Spartan Race. So if you haven't, check it out. Make sure, again, it doesn't hurt you to do that. But I know a lot of people that have done it, and it's changed the way that they look at themselves. Not just the way they look at life, but internally, which is sometimes the hardest thing to do, is reflect on who we are as people and what we're able to commit and accomplish. So, Joe, thanks again for coming on. We really appreciate it, and we hope to have you on again down the road.
Absolutely.
Thanks for
joining us.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it. So, Steve, so that was, again, it's different. So it's similar to what we had with DDP coming on. It's funny that Joe pretty much said a lot of similar things, is that we have to be able to challenge ourselves. It sounds so simple. It sounds almost stupid to a degree. And people are like, why are you telling me this? I already know this. But, yeah, we know it, but we don't do it a lot of times. And it's hard to push ourselves. You've been up since 5 a.m. This is your routine now. This is your job. This is what you do every single day. There's people look at you and think that, man, that's not worth it. But it's different. It's what you believe is worth it in life, what you want to accomplish. And I think that's very special that Joe not only promotes the Spartan races, but also participates in it. That's very important that you live out what you preach.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. Anybody could say to anybody else to go out and do something and how easy it may be. But if you don't live by it and you don't work on it and you don't preach it, by doing it, then it really means nothing. And for him to back up what he's doing with Spartan Race, as he said, he has his children involved in it. He does it himself. He's running races. He's running marathons. And it's about being healthy and stepping outside of your comfort zone. And, everybody can get to the point where, you know, they can just say, you know what, this isn't for me. I don't need to be as healthy. I'm getting older. But, you know, we want to be around for special things, especially everybody who has children. And, you know, to stay healthy, to do different things, and to be active is such a worthwhile thing. And I applaud Joe for what he's done, what he's doing, and continue to push the cause.
Absolutely. Again, that's Spartan.com, Spartan Race, and the book is Spartan Up by Joe DeSena. We're going to forego. We're doing a shorter show now. We're taking a pause from our team-by-team, division-by-division analysis. We have two left, the NL Central, and we have the AL West left as well. We have a couple special guests lined up to talk about those two divisions, and we're still trying to finalize exactly who it's going to be, but more than likely, Jerry Krasnick of ESPN will be on to discuss one of those two divisions, and we'll keep you informed and apprised of who else would be coming on. And you could also, of course, stay tuned to the latest on carsaythekid.com. So we're going to forego the seventh inning stretch for now. Just want to circle back to Peyton Manning, of course, because I have this platform, Steve, so I'm going to talk a little bit more about it. But this is from ESPN. It's on the Twitter moment section, which I think is phenomenal. Love Twitter. Great platform for so many different things. But all-time records held and tied by Peyton Manning, most career passing yards in a season, most 4,000-yard seasons, most 400-yard games in a season, most seasons leading in passing touchdowns, most career passing touchdowns, most passing touchdowns in a season, most passing touchdowns in a game, most four pass TD games in a career, most four pass TD games in a season, most career wins by quarterback, of course, winning his final game and final start, his 200th career win, leading the, which ended up becoming his second Super Bowl ring and his fourth appearance in his final game after 18 years. So again, just my final send off to Peyton Manning from a professional level. We'll see what he ends up doing. I think he would make a great coach. What say you, Steve?
I say the same thing. I just I think he again is just you know, was one of a tremendous athlete. You know, obviously he went through some bumps and bruises going through the NFL over 18-year career, and started to slow down towards the end. But you know, the things you just read off and the things that he has done over the course of his career is nothing less than incredible. And it's just a tribute to have the opportunity for me to watch him throughout his career, you know, being a huge football fan that I am, and having the opportunity to watch some of the greats, you know, in this era, being, you know, Brady and Peyton Manning and Joe Montana and Brett Favre and just players like that. And to see him do those incredible things again you just read off is, you know, it's just a pleasure to be around and a pleasure to watch.
Mm-hmm. Now, shifting back to baseball now, Miguel Sano, the Twins, a huge prospect for the Twins, had a great entry into the season. He actually told a former guest of ours, a good friend of yours, Steve, Tyler Kepner of the New York Times, in an exclusive interview, that last season he actually battled through an emotional war internally. It was when he lost his daughter, Angelica. She died 1 week after being born to a heart defect. He actually played through it. And this is a very difficult thing to even talk about, Steve. I know you as a player, somebody who's driven by their competitive nature and things like that, and this is something so so hard to go through. But he was in Double A at this time, and he was going through a lot of different things. And, you know, this is something that I want to bring back to the human side of it, because we've seen so many guys go through it. I think Paul O'Neill, through the World Series, lost his father and still came back and played. So there's a lot of that. So I want you to be able to explain the rigors of the game itself, Steve, to our audience, and how our regular life reminds us of how fragile it is. Even though you feel like you're on top of the world, you're playing in the biggest and grandest stage of all, Major League Baseball, and then, you know, things like this happen and challenge you.
Yeah, you know, I just think, you know, over my playing career and being with teammates and seeing things happen, not everybody really knows what players go through. You know, everybody thinks these guys or players are robots who show up to the field, get on the field, play a game, have fun, get paid a lot of money to do something that they love, which is the case. But, you know, there are a lot of demons whether it be, you know, alcoholism or drug addiction or, you know, other things within your life that affect you. You know, as you said, you know, Sunil losing his child. You know, you can only imagine. Your heart goes out to him, and you can only imagine what a normal person, and when I say a normal person, that's an everyday 9-to-5 person going to work and having that heartache, and then imagine going out and having to perform in front of 50,000 people and, you know, being a good teammate when all of these things are harbored inside of you. And whether it's losing a child or losing a parent or a family friend or a figure, these things affect people. And sometimes it affects them in a negative way. And then, you know, there's a lot of ridicule that comes along with that because they're not performing at the level people think they're performing at. And there's a lot of underlying issues that are involved. So there are many challenges that players go through. There's many challenges that coaches go through on a daily basis. And, you know, it's one of those things where you're privileged to play a sport. And you're so gifted to play a game that you love, and sometimes some things go, but that's the joy of having a team and not having, you know, like tennis or golf and you have to play by yourself. You know what? Your teammates know, they rally around you, they support you no matter what. And, you know, that's a special feeling when you know that you can be there for your teammate, through the good times, through the bad, and then it just makes, you know, those friendships much more enjoyable as you continue to build, you know, a bond with guys in that clubhouse.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of this, a lot of the stuff that's going on internally and, of course, around the lives of the players, you don't really... The fans and a lot of the media, even a lot of times, they don't know what's really going on. So a guy could be struggling and going through, you know, a 1-for-28 run, and he gets booed, but nobody really knows what's on his mind or what's going on. So there's also that aspect of it as well. So this is just coming out about Sunil and what happened and what he was struggling through. It did obviously make a huge impact with the Twins last year and helping them have a terrific season, hitting 18 home runs and 52 RBIs in 335 plate appearances. But again, he was battling through a lot of stuff. He got off to a very slow April, hitting 159 because of everything that was going on in his life. So always remember that baseball is a game. It's a job. It's a game. And the players are human as well. I'm not saying don't boo if a guy's not performing. Obviously, that would be weird. But just always understand that a lot of these guys, and the pressure that they're on, sometimes us as fans do get a little hard on the and do boo a little prematurely. So they want to bring that little bit of human aspect to it. There's some other things to speak about, though, Steve, so we'll just come through it quicker, and then we'll pause the rest of it for next week. We'll table that. Aroldis Chapman, 30-game suspension, appropriate or not?
Appropriate. You know, I think that Rob Manfred, he looked at it. He saw that this was you know, going to be a case-by-case thing, but he set a precedent here with Chapman sending 30 games his way, and I think Major League Baseball knows that he's serious about any kind of domestic violence that is going to happen within the sport.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and Aroldis Chapman coming out with a statement pretty much acknowledging what he had done, but he, of course, a little defined in the fact, if that is the right word, in the fact that he didn't hurt anybody. He did shoot his gun in the garage, which, of course, is not really a good way to air out. And, you know, sometimes maybe punching a wall isn't the worst option, but he ended up shooting the gun, and that was part of the major reason why so much attention has been brought to it. Of course, the alleged incident with his girlfriend is nothing to sneeze at, and, of course, we don't want that to ever happen. Domestic abuse is nothing that's that we should joke about or take lightly, but he still is a little bit defined in his response, but definitely assuming the responsibility of it. It's going to cost him, what is it, I think almost $2 million in salary, Steve, and of course definitely going to hurt his image a bit and probably hurts him down the road a little bit, even though he's probably the best closer in the game right now, if not the best since Mariano, most dominant. But maybe it hurts his value a little bit as people see him as more of the kind of the hothead that they never really seen before.
Yeah, that may be the case. I think it's a lesson maybe that hopefully is learned and he can take with him as he moves forward. I thought it was a nice thing that he sent out a statement accepting responsibility for his actions, and he wants to put this mm-hmm. behind them. And, you know, let the bygones be bygones. He understands what he did wrong, and let's move forward. And after his 30-game mm-hmm. suspension, and let's see what he can do on the baseball field.
Mm-hmm. That's an appropriate transition. Let's move forward. We once again want to thank our guest of the day, our special guest, Joe DeSena, founder and CEO of Spartan, Spartan Race, and the book Spartan Up. He's the author of that book, coming up on nearly 2 years of the release of that book, has changed the lives and outlook of so many people, and has touched so many others that are around those people who changed their lives because of what Spartan and Joe has been able to do. So with that, we want to wrap up this week's show. Steve, I don't know if you want to lead off or if you want to allow me to do my two licks.
I will lead off and do a quick last lick. I'm going to stick within the four sports. It's going to be NCAA basketball time. My last lick is just about all of the tournaments that are starting. Obviously, the conference tournaments this week leading up to the March Madness, which Selection Sunday begins on the 13th of March, and then the 17th is the first game, and it's going to be, I believe, a three-week wild ride because there are so many teams that are going to be able to and possibly win the national championship this year. Every year we go into this, and there's always three or four teams you look at. Last year was Duke and Kentucky, and going in undefeated, and there's no team like that this year. The teams are very balanced. It's even. I think once any of the top 16 teams get into the Sweet 16 after the first weekend of the tournament, it's anybody's game, and it's just going to be a lot of fun. So, keeping things light, I just wanted to, get NCAA basketball out there, get the March Madness pools going, root for your favorite colleges, and I just want to see a lot of buzzer beaters this year. A few started tonight to get teams into the tournament, and it's just going to be a lot of fun, and it's going to be a wild ride, and I'm sure I'll touch on it again. But I also, before I get off this subject, just want to give Peyton Manning his due again. Looks like he's going to be retiring here, and tremendous athlete, tremendous person, a guy that does things right and respected the game, played the game the right way, goes out on top. Congratulations, Peyton Manning. You deserve it. And that's my last lick.
Absolutely. And great things to talk about there. You going off topic, me going off topic twice in my last licks. Steve, I've never really gotten too big into college sports, trying to get into it. But around this time, you got to be crazy not to at least enjoy the craziness of March Madness and all the games, the buzzer beaters, the bracket busters, of course, the Cinderella stories. So we'll see what ends up happening with that. We'll see how everyone's bracket ends up doing. I imagine you did a bracket as well, Steve.
Once it happens, I always do one. It's a lot of fun in the clubhouse. We just have a lot of fun with the brackets and, just challenge each other on who's going to win the national championship.
Awesome. So as we get closer to that, we'll see how your bracket shapes up if you care to share. And I'll probably do one just for giggles as well, even though I don't really know much about it. I'll dip my toes. But my last lick, hats off to Jaromir Jagr. We don't talk about hockey ever on the show, and it's kind of a shame because it's such a great sport, probably my favorite to watch live. I was a big fan up until the last lockout, which was many moons ago. But playoff time, I watched, still a big Red Wings and Rangers fan, even though it seems almost contradictory to say that since I don't really follow all that much now. It's just, it's a hard game to follow because it's not every day, and that's part of why I love baseball so much, because it's every day, it's in your face all the time. There's so many stats to absorb, and I'm a big geek for that. But I got to give a big hat tip to Jaromir Jagr. Unbelievable talent, almost mid-40s at this point, tying Gordie Howe for third all time in points. Gordie Howe, of course, synonymous with greatness, one of the greatest of all time. 850 career points. Jágr tied in his 22nd season. He's now third in goals, 743 goals, 1,107 assists. One of the greatest of all time, Jaromír Jágr, and just amazing what he's been able to do. And by the way, Steve, for Lent, he gave up his 10 cups of coffee a day. It's a little factoid there. But again, one of the greatest athletes of all time. And again, tying Gordie Howe, so hats off to Jaromír Jágr. And my final last pick is a little bit sadder news, not a little bit, completely sadder news, is the passing of Nancy Reagan. And we don't talk about politics on the show. We've done once or twice in the last lick. I did it last time because the passing of Antonin Scalia, Supreme Court Justice, another great American. But Nancy Davis, former First Lady, during the 80s, obviously with Ronald Reagan, former actress, did act in the movie with Ronald Reagan. A lot of people don't know that. He kind of recreated her career. She was struggling when she went out to California. He was not a huge actor, so to speak, but was very well known, the Screen Actors Guild, and she was blackballed because apparently she got on a list as a communist sympathizer. And of course, we know those times are what they were at that point with the Cold War and everything like that. But that's how they came together. They acted in the movie Hellcats of the Navy, and the rest, as they say, is history. One of the greatest women of all time, one of the greatest first ladies of all time, and of course her presence will be sorely missed. Her positive attitude, everything that she's done for this country, will be sorely missed. And this is a bipartisan thing. We've seen everybody from both sides of the aisle come out and say very good, very positive things about her, because there's pretty much nothing but positive things to say about such a great person, such a great former first lady. So I'm paying my respects to Nancy Reagan, the Reagan family, and I sent an email out to Michael Reagan before. I had been in contact with him many moons ago, and send my condolences there. So that is my last lick. Again, I went off topic twice there, but I appreciate the audience being able to give me that opportunity, and you as well, Steve. Again, we don't talk about politics, but this is the passing on of a great person and a great American.
Absolutely. What a great last lick. As you said, heavy hearts tonight. Condolences to the Reagan family, and she will sorely be missed.
Absolutely. And thank you all for listening once again. Our special guest of the night was Joe DeSena. Thank you again to Joe for coming on the show. We hope to have him on again. I have a feeling that he's going to come on again because he really liked talking with us about what he's been able to create there at Spartan. Steve, time for you to get some rest, and we'll be back on next week, and more than likely with Jerry Krasnick of ESPN. So stay tuned to CarsaneTheKid.com, and once again, thanks for listening.
Yep, have a good night.
Appreciate it. Thanks.